Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
And welcome to episode 120. Of the Talking Hockey Podcast.
No, that was awful.
I bet you, Eric, Eric probably didn't even bring his microphone to Ottawa, no. Like the good one.
Actually, I did.
Oh, okay.
Didn't have time to set it up.
Eric, do you straight up work in this little hallway during the day? Like, this is where a desk is set up and everything?
Why?
Like, what the?
I have my two screens. I have my desk. I have my chair.
Was there really nothing better in this house?
Well, I couldn't do it in the room because Serena sleeps in there, and she sleeps till like 11 o'clock every day. So like,
oh, like
11 p.m.
Yeah.
Well, like I used to.
Yes.
Not anymore.
Yeah. Not anymore. Quote unquote. You know, in quotations.
Not anymore. Ever since I left school, basically, it's really sad. It's a sad day. Mm-hmm. Introduce what we're going to talk about.
Fine.
Oh, brother.
Wait, what, Luke, did you want to talk about?
I was going to say, why are you living in Ottawa? I thought your dream was to live in Mexico in October of 2022.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's your favorite producer, Luke, here to remind you to follow and subscribe on whatever streaming service you use. Leave a review on Apple, visit our website, talkinghockeypodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram at Talking Hockey for daily content. Now, let's get into today's episode with your favorite group of guys, Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin.
No. I'm going to be gone from January to April.
In Mexico?
No, I'm multiple places. Europe, Mexico, hopefully like Costa Rica. It's my goal too.
Damn. Europe and Mexico are pretty far away from each other.
Yeah. Well, Europe will only be a couple weeks. Mexico will be like a month.
Mm.
Costa Rica will hopefully be like a month. And then maybe something else thrown in there. Or come back.
Are you going to tell your work this time or no?
Yeah. I can tell.
Okay. All right. Now,
they don't care.
Now, Ty, you can introduce what we're talking about.
Right. We had a lot that we said we were going to talk about, and I'll tell you what I remember, which was Nathan MacKinnon, some retirements, and
Couturier? What else was on the list? I mean, he wasn't on the list, but
big contracts. Big contracts.
Big contracts,
everybody.
Yeah. Oh, brother, this is a great start.
You don't remember?
This is amazing.
This is a low energy start here.
Bro,
I don't know, man. Sometimes it's like, sometimes we have it going. This doesn't feel like one of the times
that we have it going.
we've been off for about 2 months. It's like, you know, the first week of the NHL season, we got to get our legs back underneath
us. Yeah, and Luke said, let's take August off, and then that became August and most of September.
Yeah.
Well, there just hasn't been enough to...
There hasn't been a lot. Yeah, there hasn't been a lot. Well, there's not, like, a lot going on.
How do you feel about the advertisements on jerseys, Eric?
Oh, true.
They're good.
I love the milk advertisement on the Leafs.
Oh, my God.
Jersey.
Leafs have milk and then TikTok on their helmets.
I love it. It's so millennial. So Gen Z.
Do you really want them to have like four different ads on their jerseys?
No, I never said I wanted them to. I just said that they're going to buy. I don't think they'll have four, but they'll by the end of the decade or to early next decade, they're going to have like two or three advertisements.
You think like goalie pads are going to have
ads? And... goalie pads are going to get ads. The blockers are going to get ads. There's going to be ads on everything.
They're going to see this opportunity.
They're literally just going to see, but then I don't think they'll go full Swedish Hockey League or full like, you know, European hockey, but I think they'll
go. Who makes the money on the goalie pad ads? Is it the goalie or like a split?
It's the team. The goalie ain't going to make shit. They're not giving shit to the goalies.
The goalie makes money from like Bauer, whoever their pads are from right now, or they get them for free anyways, right?
I don't think they get them for free. I think that it's more like they can design them and then the team buys it for them.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think they get it for free.
They probably don't get it for free.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, I think
maybe at a discounted rate. Yeah, Bauer like would give. Yeah.
The only point of my story, like everyone goes like, oh, you just want to ruin hockey by ruining the jerseys. It's like, I don't give a shit if they have them or not. I'm just saying there's like infinite millions of dollars in revenue that teams are throwing aside because they don't do this yet. And so they're going to do it eventually.
There were teams that decided not to, right? Like,
there was like a couple teams that decided not to, and some of those teams probably just couldn't get a jersey sponsor and just didn't
find the right deal.
I think Montreal, is Montreal one of them?
Oh, Montreal does. Montreal's RBC, and it's so bad because the blue and yellow or the blue and gold, and then it's like the red jerseys.
Yeah.
You sure you got BMO, really.
Yeah. So I think the rumor was the Leafs got upwards of eight figures on their jersey deal, the milk ad or whatever, for a multi-year deal or something. So it's like if even the crappy teams could get a seven-figure deal, so are they going to, you know, give away $10 million in revenue or something like that over the course of a couple of years? Because 10%, 20%, 30% of fans are going to get mad about jersey ads? I don't think so. They're still going to buy jerseys.
Do you think that the jerseys you buy at the store are going to have the ads on it?
They will, yeah.
You think so?
I'm pretty sure.
That would look so stupid. I mean, I guess like soccer kits do.
Soccer does it too. Like, you know, if you get a Barcelona jersey, you get the UNICEF or whatever the hell their new sponsor is now. Like, you know, all my jerseys from soccer all have ads on them. Basically, some of the fake jerseys don't, which is nice.
Yeah, Luke, would you wear a jersey that says Toronto Maple Leafs milk on it?
Do they actually sell the jersey with the advertisement on it though?
I don't know. I haven't.
I would imagine
yet.
That they don't sell.
Yeah, I
jerseys
would guess
with the advertisement on it.
I just know for soccer they do, and I think the NBA they did too, right?
Do they?
Do they? I have no idea. Never bought.
I wouldn't like wearing an ad. I don't mind them wearing an ad, but I don't like the idea of buying a jersey with an ad on it myself. I don't see.
I mean, you are by buying an Adidas jersey, but
yeah, there's already an Adidas ad on it.
Well, it's an automatic
for everyone. Yeah. That's I'm mad about ads on jerseys. There's already ads on jerseys.
it's actually
the second ad that they're putting
there's
on.
Three ads already on the jersey.
There's the team, there's the jersey maker, and then there's the actual advertisements that they're putting on there now.
And if you're Lou Lamoriello, there's the name on the back. That's also an advertisement.
Oh, that is an advertisement. That's true.
For the players, it's an advertisement too. Like their brand nowadays, like Matthews is a brand, David's a brand, like Crosby's been a brand for a long time.
It'll be interesting to see like where they, because I think every team can pick where they want the ad, right? They can have it on their chest, they can have it on the shoulders. Like there's multiple places for it, so it'll be interesting to see like how teams choose that. I guess it's more valuable to have it on the front than on the side, I'd assume. But I don't actually know.
I think it looks better, like that little one right there, the milk.
On the shoulder or on the chest?
On the chest, like right above the pectoral. Like looks the best in my opinion. Like don't put it anywhere else.
Yeah, I agree.
Like it wouldn't look so good. Like where are you putting it in between the numbers? Are you taking away one of their already shoulder like team advertisement there? Like I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, moving on from jerseys, do you guys want to talk McKinnon?
Well, hopefully,
Ty, how do you feel about the McKinnon jersey?
We should have had him on the podcast to discuss the deal.
Dude, he read my message and then didn't respond. I was so hurt. Old bitch. I was just like, oh.
Sorry, delete that. I don't want him to hear that.
yeah, he's going to listen to the podcast for sure.
Nate, you could have done a lot more than 12, what are you, 12.6?
12.6, exactly.
To get
just to beat out Connor McDavid at 12.5, just to be a dick.
I mean, I think that he's,
for a year.
For a couple years. Yeah.
So well, he makes $800,000 more, basically.
Until McDavid has his next contract,
which is like 4 years
and
from now.
Until Matthews
will be the richest.
Until Matthews has. Yeah, and then McDavid will probably top Matthews, I guess, right after, unless someone takes a discount there.
He's done Colorado a favor for the past, I guess, his whole career, more or less.
But do you guys think he – because remember all the reports were like, oh, McKinnon's going to take a discount and all this stuff for Colorado and everything. Do you think he actually ended up taking a discount, or is this basically what he probably would have gone regardless?
No, this is
a discount. $14 million would probably also be a discount.
What's the
max probably worth like 15. You'd probably get value out of McKinnon even if he got a max deal. I think the max deal is like 16 something like that. So you can, no matter what deal he got, he probably would have given value, but at the same time, like, I don't think he took that much of a discount, like maybe $1 million or something like that. I don't think Colorado was going to be handing out $14 million.
They couldn't. There's no way they could.
Well, yeah, they couldn't. No, they wouldn't have the cap space for it.
So it's $14 million.
If they could have or not, I don't think any team out there is giving out a $14 million deal right now. Do you guys think?
Is 14 million
like,
the max?
I have a hard time believing it.
No, that's like
16. Oh, is it? Point like 8 or something is the max right now, I believe.
It's, yeah, but I mean, it depends if the cap keeps going up, right? Like,
yeah, eventually. But I'm saying right now, like, I have a hard time believing that, yeah, like, maybe a $500,000, $1 million discount or something. But I don't think there any team, like, if McKinnon went to free agency, do you think he'd be getting a $14 million deal? Or a $15 million deal? He should be, but would he? Like, is there any teams that could actually give him $50 million right now? There's no cap space in the league. Nobody has cap space.
He'd be getting more than what he got, I would guess. He would get, like, at least 13.
Sure. Yeah, but I don't think he'd be, like all the reports were always going to get such a big discount and all this stuff. And then maybe he got like $1 million, gave them $1 million discount or something. Like,
it's pretty big.
You know what I mean?
That $1 million.
It's big. It's not like it wasn't worth the 100 reports that they got about how he was going to get a great discount to Colorado.
But that was also like 5 years ago he said that, wasn't it? Like,
no, it was like last year.
Okay.
He said like a week ago, it's going to be in the double digits, but it's going to be a discount. Is what he said.
Which it still is.
Yeah.
No matter what.
It all depends on how you look at the term discount, I guess.
It is a discount.
I don't know. I just didn't think it was worth like all the talk about how he's going to give them such a discount that got 12.6 instead of maybe 13.5 or something like that. Like, I don't think it was that big of a discount is all my take on it was. Colorado's cap situation is going to be really interesting though now, because now they're basically paying the same, like the gigantic amount to a combination of McKinnon, Landeskog, Rantanen, and McCarr. And then they're just going to have a bunch of like, they're going to have to do what the Leafs did basically, give like
Colorado's
really cheap contracts to everyone else.
Colorado's pretty good at that. Good thing they locked up Nichushkin long-term, right?
And McCarr, didn't they?
Well,
they already have McCarr locked up for 5 years, I think.
Yeah.
Well, they got Nichushkin. What I mean is they got him locked in on like one of those long-term, lower cap hit deals, right?
Yeah. Like, they wouldn't have been able to... Jesus Christ, Martin. They wouldn't have been able to bring in Kadri at...
No way. Seven.
Any millions of dollars with this deal now. Like, there's no way they possibly could have brought him back. I think they're basically looking at it as they replaced him with a combination of, like, Lekkonen... who is the other guy? Oh, they just brought in Galchenyuk, actually. That news just broke.
That's
like,
a PTO, but I mean, PTO. Like, he's useless.
Yeah.
Arizona broke him again. But... No, he's useless.
He was fixed and then he was broken again.
I saw something about Montreal drugs did him in.
Montreal drugs gave him. Oh, God.
Let's just pull up that graph. Can you see it? No.
No, not even
1%.
I saw the 1%.
Solid 1%.
1% first percentile for NHL players. It's a little rough. If you look at their cap situation, I mean, they're gonna have some serious issues like next season too.
They could.
They got Byram coming up.
They're really banking on Georgiev. Like people want to shit on the Leafs for not having a goalie. Like Georgiev was not good at all last year. Especially
Colorado has this season to like put up a cup winning season, then they're gonna have some real fucking issues. Like they have like half their forward corps going to UFA, and then they have Bowen Byram coming up as well, and he's gonna want like the Sam Girard contract or more, which is like $5 million.
They're probably gonna have to get rid of Sam Girard.
Yeah. And then that's why they shouldn't have gotten Josh Manson to begin with. Like that should have just been like go run your top four of Makar, Girard, Taves, and Byram. But now Byram's probably going to be a casualty of Josh Manson, it looks like. Like we talked about in the offseason with not being able to sign Kadri because of Josh Manson, it looks like it's going to end up being Bowen Byram that's the casualty of it.
Mm-hmm.
Going into next year. What did you guys think about like all the giant contracts giving out, the 8x8s? To everybody, literally everybody this summer.
I find it weird that that's how the NHL's gone, to be honest. Like, it's complete turn.
And now we'll be back after a word from our sponsors. And now we'll get back into the show.
The first one that kind of changed it was like Pastrnak and then Dreisaitl and then, you know, locking up your RFAs who are young players to those long-term deals, no more bridging them to UFA, and then having to pay them. Yeah. You pay them.
MacKinnon, Pastrnak right kind of established the 6x6 deal.
Yeah.
Right. And then like, it became give like your young stars, even if they've, you know, 60-point guys, 30 goal scorers, whatever, even. You know, Tarasenko got 7.5 at the time, which was really big. And this was back in 2015, I want to say. And that was a big contract at the time that people were like, whoa, okay. So it actually took quite a long time for the young stars to get back to that level that Tarasenko hit after his ELC, basically.
But I think if you think about smarter, it. I think that's because teams realize, like, spending on unrestricted free agents is the worst way to spend your cap space, right? It's all about developing your draft picks and locking them up long term for their productive years. When a player turns 30, we just look at it and say, you know, let's say they have 5 years left in their deal. You say, oh, well, you know, 31 to 32 is probably going to be okay, but 33, 34, 35, they're borderline unplayable, right?
Well, that's interesting because the MacKinnon contract ends at him, he's what, 27 now? I want to say, yeah, he's 27. So his contract takes him to 35 now.
Yeah, and I mean, you think
which actually isn't that old.
He's not, so when you look at players' development curves, though, like 27 is, you know, I guess their players' peaks these days are what, 22, 23, 24.
Yeah, MacKinnon's right? Already peaked, most
yeah,
likely.
Yeah, he's peaked. There's no MacKinnon went off maybe 2 years ago, right? 2 or 3 years ago is when he became, you know, superstar level now. He's not going to get better than he is. There's no further development you can foresee in his game at age 27. And yeah, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, right? You're not going to expect any drop in production. But once you get to that 33, 34, 35, unless you're like Crosby, which, you know, he's probably at that level that Crosby was, but, you know, do you think he's still going to put up like, you know, Art Ross winning or Hart Trophy winning years?
I mean, yeah, I mean, I guess McKinnon, the thing is, the difference between Crosby and McKinnon is McKinnon relies way more on his speed than Crosby.
Right, that's did. And that's a problem. Crosby's like the and best grinder you'll ever find. Yeah. Crosby will get the puck out of the corner and battle in there. He's a grinder, more or less, right?
Like McKinnon's literally a grinder. Power forward slash elite speed all in one. Yeah. With like elite hands and everything.
So McKinnon right? losing his
so
step?
It's like that's worrying. That's the worrying part. Because if McKinnon loses a step, like that's his huge advantage. It's like McDavid. Like McDavid, one of the things McDavid needs to do as he gets older is change his game up, right? Like he can't keep relying on his speed forever because it's like, you know, once he's like 31, 32, that speed isn't going to be there to that extent most likely anymore. So it'll be interesting to see how he changes his game. Crosby never needed to really change his game much. Like, yeah, he was a lot faster when he was 24, but he was never McDavid level speed. He was never McKinnon level speed. He was never like based off of a speed game. So McKinnon can probably age in this contract a lot worse than Crosby.
Which, I mean,
did.
Is to say, like what he's putting up now, like 100 points a season, let's say. Would you still be paying him, you know, just to be wanting to be paying him 5 years down the road and he puts up like 80 points, 75 points, 12.5 million?
I don't think McKinnon's hit 100 points yet, has he? If I'm not mistaken.
I don't know.
I mean, he might have been on pace, but I don't think he's ever actually hit 100 points.
Well, let's just say, you know, top two, top three player in the league, right? In 5 years, do you still think he's going to be that way?
No, he's not going to be a top five player in 3 or 4 years. I don't think he's a top five player right now, to be honest, but
well,
that's besides
I
the point.
Think that's I do. I think that's silly to say he's not. McKinnon.
Okay. No, so McDavid, Matthews,
McDavid Matthews.
McDavid Matthews. McDavid Matthews, Makar, Draisaitl.
No way, you think Draisaitl's
okay,
better
maybe
than McKinnon.
McKinnon.
Yeah, McKinnon's I think McKinnon's better than Draisaitl.
Zach Hyman.
Zach Hyman, of course.
Nassim Kadri.
Michael Bunting. Michael Bunting.
Yeah. I think Michael Bunting. Him. Michael Bunting might win the Calder this year.
Actually, Shesterkin.
That's a goal. I think
you want to count goalies.
Yeah.
Okay. No,
that's hard with
top
goalies.
One. I was thinking he was going to end up like 6 or 7 or something like that when I was thinking about it, but yeah, he's probably 4 or number 5.
And is Shesterkin even the best goalie? That's just too difficult
so.
To determine.
He is. He just had the best goalie season in recent NHL history. So it's him and then Vasilevsky.
Yeah, but he could come out next year. Would you be surprised if Shesterkin isn't, like, he's not even a top three goalie next year?
I would be shocked if he wasn't.
I'd be pretty surprised. Maybe not top three, but if he's not top five, I'd be pretty surprised. I think
there's someone on Twitter that I saw that was like, there's like 7 good goalies in the league. And if you don't have one of those 7 goalies.
Yeah. Then it's really just a crapshoot.
Yeah. It's a crapshoot.
Shesterkin, Vasilevsky, Hellebuck, Saros.
Demko,
maybe. I mean, we still need a little
Demko's
bit more.
Great.
From him,
I think Demko's really good.
Saros only has, what, 1 year?
No, Saros has been multiple years as being elite now. This is like his 3rd or 4th year.
No, but like as I'd the say. Number one executing.
No, he's been the number one for 3 years now. Tech Arena hasn't been number one in a while. It's really those guys. I can't think of any other goalies really.
No, last year was his first year being the full-time number one, Eric.
He's like always been number one. He was just splitting. It was just a split. It was like 50, 30, or 45, 40, you know, like that type of split for the last 2 years at least. Yeah.
But last year, he literally put up 67 games, which is like what they're really saying, like, with that is there's only like 5 goalies that you would put out there 65 games in the year. And be like, yeah, you're going out 65 because we rely on you. And it's
Fair enough.
Not very many.
Fair enough. Maybe Markstrom's been pretty consistent the last couple Markstrom's of years. But Markstrom's
somewhat,
yeah, but he's it's like he forgot how to stop a puck in the playoffs.
I don't really think he's like the guy that I would consider consistent. So it's really just those guys. After that, you know, like Minnesota's goaltending could be Ottawa level bad next year, and nobody would be surprised. You know what I mean? Like it can just completely fall. So I agree with Ty on that part. But anyways, we're getting into a separate conversation here. The interesting part about the contracts that I thought was that most of the time when those young players got those big deals, they were showing like they had already had breakout seasons. Whereas a lot of these guys now are getting these big contracts.
That's what I found weird.
Even somewhat of a breakout season. Like Tim exactly. Stützle, what, 50 points last year? Got 8x8? Mm-hmm. Almost 8.5x8? Like Tarasenko put up a point per game 40 goal year, then got his 7.5x8 or whatever deal. You know? Even, yeah. You know, Jordan Kyrou just put up almost a point per game year. Robert Thomas, you know, those guys put up 70-point years. And then got their 8x8. Tim Stützle got his 8x8 with a 50-point year.
Well, what Tage Thompson was point per game this year, eh? Right? Yeah.
That one is kind of shocking.
Tage Thompson was the most ridiculous. Did we not have a podcast episode after that deal got signed? Holy fuck.
I don't think so.
Jeez, we could have spent a whole episode talking about that ridiculousness. What the fuck was that? Tage Thompson got what, $7 million? Did he get $7 million?
Seven.
Seven? Just seven?
Seven something. I don't know.
No, 7.14. $7.14 million for Tage Thompson because he had one good year after being like the worst player in the NHL the year before.
He was borderline, like he looked like he was coming into the league.
He didn't belong in the league last year. He like literally didn't belong in the league. The season before this past one. Like he did not belong in the league. And then they're just like, okay, let's lock him up now for 8 years at $7.1 million. That was probably the most ridiculous deal of the offseason. You know how I had like Buffalo's GM in the top like 12 or something like that in my GM rankings? Just drop him down like 10 places for that deal alone.
But it could be sick. That's what they're hoping. No, like it seems
like
they're
all thinking it could be sick. I don't think it could be sick because even if he hits this year, let's say he hits 65 points next year. Mm-hmm. That's not a sick deal at $7.1 million. That's an okay deal. That's like fine. And you're like, okay, good. He made up his contract at most.
Yeah.
Tim Switzer's good at one thing and one thing only.
Being
diving.
German.
What is that, Ty?
Oh.
Diving. $8 million for a member of Germany's Olympic diving team is pretty steep, if you ask me.
Guys, we've heard that joke 4 weeks ago, I believe it was.
Yeah, I know.
We heard that joke every day for the last month.
Every single time, all the time last season, too.
Okay, but come on, it's a joke.
I'm just saying.
It's a joke.
I'm saying you've repeated it a little bit too much.
I didn't repeat it on the podcast.
It's a few too
many. That was a private joke.
Are we going to get to retired players or what?
Oh, yeah. This morning there was a retirement news, back to back to back. It was like that time when Steven Stamkos signed that deal.
All the one-for-one deals came.
Yeah, the one-for-one. Taylor Hall got traded, and then Subban for Weber got traded in the span of 20 minutes. But this morning, Zdeno Chara retired. Keith Yandel retired, and then PK Subban retired within like 10 minutes of each other.
So obviously Chara goes to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Does PK Subban?
No.
It's hard.
No.
He's won one Norris Trophy. That's it.
Yeah, he wasn't good for long enough.
King
gold
Clancy
medal on the bench. Yeah.
On the bench. Yeah, he was in the.
He did date Lindsey Vonn. Though, so.
Yeah,
he goes in my Hall of Fame, that's for sure.
PK retired because he could make more money in commentary than he was going to get.
Well,
in
also NHL, his back is sure. broken.
Exactly. He didn't want to hurt himself anymore. And he can make bank in commentary.
He definitely can, but I also read the reports that he basically said the only teams he wanted to go play for was Montreal on a one-year deal or Toronto, apparently. And if he didn't get those, then once those were like not going to happen completely, then he announced his retirement.
Why not Ottawa? If you're going to say those two, like, that seems weird.
Probably because like,
why would anyone want to play in Ottawa?
And nobody wants to play in Ottawa.
Literally, you could like commute from Montreal to Ottawa.
As I'm living in Ottawa.
There's two things in Ottawa, Eric and Justin Trudeau. And neither of those things are very enticing.
I don't know. The Eric part seems pretty enticing. Yeah, I'd have to say. But
oh my god! Okay, can you pause the podcast for a second?
No.
Did you see that they're dropping the COVID vaccine requirement September 30th to come into Canada?
I didn't even know it was still.
Ooh, right before the baseball playoffs.
Right before the baseball playoffs.
Fuck it. That's wild.
Oh no.
Aaron Judge is allowed in. Like, 10 players? Like,
No. Like each team has each team has at least a couple.
Yeah, there was a lot of baseball players.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's interesting.
It's all the homophobic
ones. And we're back.
Jesus.
Don't forget to cut this one out, Luke. Cut until here, Luke.
That was like, I'm not gonna wear the pride flag on my
It was like 10 players on Tampa.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there was 10 players on Tampa.
Because it was a pride jersey or something.
It was a pride hat.
That is the pride most colored ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
There's like 10 pitchers being like, this is our faith, this is our choice, we're not going to do it.
And there's multiple of them all on the same team.
Man, like, that is absurd. Baseball's pretty deep south people, like, central, and like, they're just kids that grew up playing baseball, and that's what they know, and you know?
So, yeah, but to like care that much that they're like, no,
oh, those people care a lot about their religion. That's how the Republican Party lives.
why do you think they're not vaccinated? It's a pretty small, it's a Venn diagram, and it contains the same people.
Yes.
What about, does Yandel hold the longest amount of games played consecutively?
Then they scratched him. He still holds it, but he doesn't.
So he still holds
the Iron
it. They
Man
just
anymore.
Broke his record.
Yeah,
he's not down.
That was like the number one dialogue I saw with him is like, "Oh, you like the Flyers force him into retirement. They should just let him play those last 14 games. Terrible franchise.
Yeah, they're gonna suck anyways. Yeah. Might as well.
He's good buddies with like Whitney or something, isn't he? So he could probably step into a job at Barstool.
Well, he was on Spitting Chicklets where he announced it, apparently. Like, that's what I saw.
Like,
oh, really?
Mm-hmm. But he also kind of sucked the past few years.
Well, he's a points guy, right? Like, he's a points defenseman, and if he's not getting points,
yeah, and he isn't even a points defenseman anymore. Like, at
exactly.
his peak. He was a points defenseman, but I always even argued this. Like, every team stapled him on the power play, and he'd get a bunch of power play points, but he was never actually, like, a good power play player. Like, he actually negatively impacted most of the power plays that he was on. And I always found that, like, really funny, because it's, like, this weird opposites where the player's getting a ton of power play time, getting a ton of power play points. He's getting a ton of power play points because he's on the power play, on the first power play, getting those points beside, you know, actually elite players. So it was always like this weird conundrum where I was like, if you put Yandel on the power play, you're going to make it worse. But he also, I don't know, it was just the weirdest, like, Keith Yandel for the last decade has been a really odd player, basically. Last, like, 7 years.
Yeah, wasn't he just like a power play merchant?
He was just a power play specialist. Every coach would give him like the easiest minutes they possibly could, and he'd still get destroyed in them. He wouldn't put up many offensive
moves. His whole time in Florida,
players.
He was literally just raking in power play points with Huberdeau and
I drafted him in fantasy all the time.
Yeah. He just rakes points in.
All the time. He got tons of points. And then he would shoot a fair bit and all that other stuff. Like, he was a good fantasy player. It's just like a real life defenseman. Like, he was completely misused, basically. Because he wasn't even, you know, he could play on the power play, but he didn't make it any better. He honestly made it worse if you look at the numbers a lot of the time. So he was a really weird player. Do you think if a player holds an Ironman streak, like the record for it, he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame for that record alone?
No.
Like, does Andrew Cogliano deserve to be in the Hall of Fame?
Almost more than Yandel, because Cogliano has a cup.
Yeah, but Cogliano smacked a ref with a stick or something. Didn't he?
Cogliano's
I think that was like an accident.
Yeah, it was an accident.
It was, but you think the refs union's going to let in a player like that?
But also, like, sketchy. Cogliano had an Iron Man streak snap because he got suspended.
He got suspended.
He got like a dirty hit from behind or something. He got suspended for like two games.
But it wasn't even bad. It was like a nothing hit. Like, it wasn't even one of the worst hits.
Yeah, I don't think it was like deserving.
It was a Brandon Shanahan suspension, not a George Parra suspension.
Yeah.
I remember that, like, watching that video and then like watching another video, like a video comparing hits that year that weren't suspended. And there was like literally three worse hits earlier that year.
Anytime you do that, it just frustrates you because you're just like, there's 18 hits that didn't get the suspension, but then they randomly give it to this one dude. I remember like every Leafs fan was making a big deal about it for Matthews last season.
Yeah, literally though.
While he was on his goal scoring tear, and like I remember seeing that hit going like, yeah, he should get suspended for that, but I can also point to 30 other hits that nothing ever happened. So it's like, what the fuck? Not that, you know. Anyways, it's. If you watch those, you're just going to get eternally frustrated with it.
But yes, Cogliano has a better case for the Hall of Fame, and his case is still not high. Like, it shouldn't.
Didn't Keith Yandel hit 1,000 games though?
Yeah, he's at 1,100 games.
There you go. So, there's also that.
No, fuck. No. He's literally won nothing. Like, Cogliano's not Cogliano.
Like, Phil Kessel, I think, would have a good shot.
Kessel's won
Kessel
two cups.
Deserves Hall of Fame. Yes.
Yeah.
Two cups, yeah, Iron Man streak.
He also had a Conn Smythe rod from him by Crosby because people just like Crosby more. So. That too.
Yes.
That first cup run, he deserved it. Everyone knows it.
True.
So anyways, that's just my point. That's my. Thing. But anyways, Ty, what do you think about did you hear the news about Liljegren and Sandin?
No.
Oh, that so, they offered him the same thing, and then they were hoping that they'd take it, and Timothy took it, and Sandin's like, no, I want Ethan Bear. Who did he compare himself to?
I didn't read anything about him comparing himself to anyone. I only just read that like you said, him and Liljegren got offered the exact same deals, and Liljegren took it. Sandin was like, nah, fuck that.
I'm not surprised.
This Sandin situation's really taking me off, because I really think someone should offer sheet him. Like, it's showing how dumb the NHL is with offer sheets that no one is.
Because he's good.
An NHL worthy defenseman.
Oh, 100%.
You know, probably kind of risky, start though. The year.
I think the issue is for the Leafs and why they can't, like, why they're having an issue signing Sandin is because there's so many players that, like, signed deals this offseason that are comparables to him.
When you look at Sandin's comparables, like,
it's like Sean Durzi,
Mikey Anderson,
who played more minutes than him, got $1.7 million, as an example.
Mikey Anderson got $1.2 million when he was playing first line minutes with Drew Doughty last year.
Yeah.
Right? Same age. Similar play style. And then Liljegren. There were a couple other ones that were just, you know, defensemen signing like
Valimaki.
Yeah.
Valimaki played, you know, 70 games last year. He got, let me see here, what did he get? I think he also got like 1.5 million. Ethan Bear got a little bit more. He got in 2 million range. But do you think like that's what's holding it up?
No, I think it's more that Sandin thinks that he doesn't have a spot on the defense right now, because you have Riley on your lefty, you have Riley, Muzzin.
But then that has nothing to do with his contract. What is he saying? Like, pay me more?
He wants to be like guaranteed minutes.
Guaranteed.
But does he really? Yeah. Or he wants to play like top 4 minutes, guaranteed top 4 minutes. He's not going to get it because I doubt they drop Muzzin to third pair, even though looking at last season, that's kind of where he belonged. But, you know.
But Ethan Bear only got $2 million, by the way.
They don't need a guy like Rasmus Sandin in their top four.
They do. He's good.
I think they do.
He's really good.
The Leafs really don't have any puck-moving defensemen anymore. Like, it's just Morgan Rielly.
Well, Liljegren's pretty good at it, I think.
Yeah, and then Liljegren and Sandin is what I'm trying to say. Like, Justin Hull isn't really doing it anymore. Muzzin ain't it anymore. Who else?
Brody's decent.
Yeah. But he's not really a good puck-moving defenseman anymore. Like, they need Sandin and Liljegren. Like, they absolutely need Liljegren and Sandin to work out for their cap situation. And they needed them to take, like, the actual deals that they were worth, not, like, hold out like this. Like, they need, like, how much cap space do the Leafs have right now?
They have negative
cap space. Yeah, and they haven't signed Sandin yet. Like, they need him at 1.4, 1.5. Max like $1.7 million, basically. So they're in a tough spot. But also, I don't think, like, since a offer sheet clearly isn't coming through, they might just be able to push it to the season. Sandy's going to be like, okay, I'm either not getting paid or I'm taking this deal, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, any other topics?
I could see him not playing this year, to be honest. Like,
you can see him sitting out the whole year.
Well, if you make it to December 1st or whatever, that's the limit. Like, you're donezo.
Yeah, I think we're a long way from December 1st. There's still like Jason Robertson that doesn't have a contract yet. Either.
Yeah, that's true.
He does, and that's like a way bigger freaking deal. Because their owner was I don't want to pay young kids. Right? Their owner actually came out and was like,
The stupidest thing about that is Jason Robertson, out of these young kids that got weird deals this summer, it is the one that deserves a huge deal because he's actually fucking worth it. Like, it's proven worth it. He has 2 years in a row of being sick. So
has he been signed?
No.
No.
Damn. How has he not been offer sheeted?
Oh, that would
nobody
be
has any cap space.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
probably the picks. Oh, they need like $9 or $10 million, I guess. If Zitzel gets eight, how does Jason Robertson?
I think that just means it's the end of the show, boys. Eric disappeared.
Eric.
What else was there to talk about? I think that was the three topics that we wanted to talk about, right?
We're just gonna call it.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in to our retirement conversation and conversation about McKinnon. I promise we'll be high energy again soon. It's the summer legs. This is the preseason. So we'll be back soon.
We're pre-preseason still, so we got time.
Ty is playing volleyball all summer or all winter on Wednesdays, though. So
it's a Tuesday night thing.
So the recording's a Tuesday night thing or volleyball?
It's a Tuesday. Recording's a Tuesday night.
We'll probably be recording a little bit differently as we go forward.
All right.
Oh, goodbye, Eric's trying to come back, so we're going to stop.
No, goodbye.
All right, bye.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into this week's episode. We love and appreciate each listener that sticks around to the end. With that comes reminders to leave a review, press follow on those streaming platforms, and make sure to head over to Instagram to follow Talking Hockey. We're on the road to 30K, and we can't wait to continue to build our audience. Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin signing off. We'll see you all next week.